Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joining me today in the studio is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And Sean Finnegan.
Chomp, I guess.
He's in a good mood, but I'm really happy because the whole crew is here. We have a ton to talk about. Let's go over a few of the topics we're going to be discussing today. So we got Nightfall scoring, a bunch of raid changes. We got PvP changes that we're going to go over last week. That's why CJ is allowed on the show. We have the Activision earnings call, which had a lot of interesting news. And Crimson Days is coming back, and there have been some forum changes over on Bungie.net. We're going to have a long discussion about everything going on with Bungie. Fran, how's that Discord going?
Please join our Discord. Great plug, Destin. But we're going to leave it at the top of the comments. We've been getting a lot of response from the last episode. That means a lot of Guardians are playing with each other and finding ways to raid. So hit that link at the top of our YouTube.com/Fireteam Chat latest episode.
Fran and I went through Prestige Raid, and it was a disaster. You should watch that over on YouTube.com/Fireteam Chat. But it was a disaster in the best kind of way.
That's what you're missing if you're not subscribed.
Yeah. Nice. So guys, we have so much to go over. Do you want to start with Nightfall, Raids, PvP, CJ?
Oh, you know what? Let's leave PvP for last, but what I do want to ask is, does it stack?
Burn. It does stack. We addressed it on the show. Lots of comments. I do apologize for being misleading.
Masterworks armor. Stacks. We now know.
Stack. Yeah, it up to 15%.
All right, so let's start with that Activision earnings call from yesterday. This happened fairly recently. There's a huge expansion coming in the fall. I think that was pretty unsurprising news to any Destiny fan. That's been pretty standard practice, but exciting nonetheless. Bungie and Activision seem to have fan feedback as a top priority, and it's nice to hear Activision calling that out, as well as representing Bungie's voice, saying they're really listening to fans. Mm-hmm. However, in-game revenues are expected to be a top earner for Activision in 2018, and that makes me nervous because it means they're doubling down on microtransactions, but listening to fan feedback, that's going to be difficult to weigh when the boss is saying more microtransaction. Bungie's like, hey, people really don't like that. So they got to figure out how to balance that appropriately.
Did they say that they're increasing it, though? They just said it's top earner. And maybe that's what it is today, right?
Expected to be a top earner.
Yeah, which it probably is today is all I'm saying. Meaning players still aren't changing.
Check this out. Players still bought more virtual goods in Call of Duty and Destiny in 2018 than they did in 2017. So, guys, if you don't like this stuff, do not spend money at Eververse. If they see it's not an effective business model, they'll stop doing it.
Yeah. I think that's
the only way you can send a message to people.
Yeah.
I mean, your wallet.
The feedback, I will say, though, and we'll go through Crimson Double's implementation after, is a lot better. So the Dawning was very much this thing that blew up for good reason, and it's good to hear that at least there's some changes coming.
Yeah. I think Crimson Days is at least telling of that how much of a focus they're trying to put on solving the frustration.
Yes.
It doesn't mean it's going away, though. And I think I bought like an $8 plunger ninja sword or something in
Fortnite.
But that's for the entertainment, as we've discussed in the past. But
terrible.
Different.
But topic. You can just say, I want that.
But that's the point. Don't buy if you don't want to support this. Otherwise, they're going to keep doing it.
Exactly.
It's all about the earnings.
So check this out. This was interestingly phrased, and I missed it the first time. Destiny 2 was the second highest grossing console game in North America in 2017. Mm. So very specific region there that they're discussing. Mm-hmm. But this is what shocked a lot of people. Attach rate on the first DLC was higher than the attach rate for Dark Below in Destiny 1. But
yeah.
Ryan McCaffrey pointed out, we're on three platforms.
Right.
So, of course, you have a whole other demographic that is going to come in. And everybody on Twitter said, well, of course, the pre-orders.
Yeah.
Remember, Destiny 1 also had that incentive where you got the expansions with certain versions of the game. But I really think what lended to it was that third platform, because PC, and it launched at the same time. So everybody on PC, everybody on PS4, and everybody on Xbox all went to that second.
So I skipped Dark Below, in Destiny Year 1. I kind of petered out of Destiny 1 before Dark Below came out, and then I didn't get to play Crota until I came back for House of Wolves, which is the last – or that expansion after Dark Below. So I can't really speculate on what the climate was like in Destiny 1 at that point, but, is it comparable? Part of me thinks, the attach rate might have been higher for Curse of Osiris because Destiny 2 was kind of in a sad state right before that, and they were hoping that that first expansion, Curse of Osiris, would breathe life back into it.
Yeah.
Was that not the case for Dark Below?
History is repeating itself a little bit. When I've gone back...
I think it's way simpler than this, by the way.
Well, I mean, okay, so long story short then, I think...
it's the three platforms, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is, but I think that when you look back at it, it was an unknown variable. There was a disappointing release and scores and launch, so there was that coming into it. But then I think people were hoping and wanting to see what was happening. Now it's like, well, they're at the same release cadence as they were before, and I think people expected more from Destiny 2.
Yeah. What's your thoughts, Fran?
Well, I think it was along the lines of what you were saying. All of the console bases have grown in many years, right? They were early in their stages. It's just a bigger grown in.
You're right.
Player base is just bigger. It's a ratio of people buying games. So you've got that. Then you've launched on a third platform. But
counterpoint, the 360 and PS3 were platforms where they could also buy the expansion. So they had a huge install base.
That's a very good point, actually.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Oh!
But where I was also going with it, Destiny then, we didn't know what the expansions were. I don't know what it is. I was just saying, I think it is, we see console player base, it has gotten a lot bigger for what it is.
But that's an interesting point. You did not take that into consideration when you were, but it's interesting because, a lot of people, I remember playing Destiny on 360 and PlayStation 3 just to try them out, but it's weird when they stop supporting them. Mm-hmm. That's when it's like
I don't know how big those player bases were, but my other main point was just that Destiny, nobody knew what it was then.
Right.
If you look at the hype, there was a reason to pre-order, is all I was going to say.
Yeah.
Now in Destiny 2, the hype train was huge. Even though it was big for Destiny, we just don't know. We didn't know what DLC was. Even back then, we were hesitant about DLC. There was a lot of bad stories around DLC back then.
I think people knew what it was. I think for the most part, the people on Twitter hit me up and just general consensus about pre-orders. Mm-hmm. It was bundled in with more versions of the game, I think.
Yeah.
It was an easier add-on this time.
Yeah.
So people just have it. I have it because I got the super deluxe edition or whatever.
And it was cheaper this time too.
Yeah.
What's weird for me is
maybe, I don't know.
Thinking
I don't
about,
want to say that.
I mean, it's funny to listen to you talk about buying something.
I don't want to say anything and be wrong later.
It's interesting to hear me.
I'm not shy about that.
It's interesting for me to hear you talk about buying a plunger and whatever that's important to you.
For entertainment. It's for the stream.
Whatever. All I'm saying is, prior to Destiny being released, typically games were, hey, we're going to sell you a bunch of maps, and those maps are going to be $20 for three maps or four maps. Mm-hmm. That's what the value add of DLCs was prior to Destiny. Now, this is where I keep going back and forth on what do you expect from it. And now it's the bar was raised again by Bungie with these DLCs. You got raids, maps, game modes, all that kind of stuff. Now that we expect that, now all of a sudden it's that should be way lower in price. It's you get a lot for $20, but still there's a psychological reason why buy a plunger in Fortnite for how much?
You get a lot for $20.
But I'm not expecting anything other than a dumb item.
Okay, so hold up.
I know
this, hold up. Hold up. Conversation. The expectation.
Wait. You can get a lot of something bad and still not consider it a good value. And for the most part, people did not enjoy Curse of Osiris.
Right.
So you're getting a lot of stuff that people didn't necessarily like.
And that's true. What I'm saying is, if you look historically at multiplayer games like Halo and Call of Duty, typically you got maps, and that was it. And people back then, at least like in late 2007 and when those games were coming out, that was fine. Now, think about Prison of Elders. You think about, missions and strikes and game modes and a raid. Like, I didn't actually play much of the raids at first because I didn't know what it was. And after you played it, you're like, man, I want one of these every month.
Obviously, that's not possible. The audience expectation about what comes in a DLC has changed drastically because of Destiny. But I just want to point out, like, it's also changed in different ways in other games. Like, I hate to keep bringing it up, but Halo gave away all of their DLC and maps and modes and skins and wrecks for free.
Yep.
So
because they're making
I don't
enough
know
revenue.
Who out there could think that that wasn't a good value.
Right? They're making enough revenue from their wreck packs, so they don't need to charge people more.
Yeah,
I would love to have this conversation and they have a more, huge backing. More information, but Titanfall 2 did kind of the same thing, gave a lot of stuff for free. That player base isn't there, so, and it released at a weird time. There's a bunch of interesting cases.
But that's an interesting case because Titanfall was like doomed to fail because of how EA positioned it.
In between major titles.
Yeah. Bungie could learn a lot from other games that are doing things well.
We haven't said that before.
Monster Hunter.
No, you didn't.
I was really looking forward to that being one of the topics. Why Destin is wrong about Monster Hunter and Destiny not being comparable. But unfortunately, we can't really get into it.
It's a long episode today. There are comparable aspects, but it's a little bit of a stretch. And it's saying that time. Monster Hunter did
here he goes.
A bunch of stuff that's never been done before.
Well, I never said anything like that.
But that's what everybody's doing. They're comparing it because Monster Hunter's hot right now and not being down with Destiny is hot right now. So they're correlating the two. And that's what's driving me nuts. There are other games that did the things in Monster Hunter better than Monster Hunter is doing it. And that's what drives me crazy.
Rant over.
Anyway. Monster Hunter is a great game. A lot of people are loving it. Sorry. I don't want to linger on the earnings call.
We are way off topic. We never really know what some of these things mean. That's why it's a little vague and they twist their words. And so who knows what
there's
the
a lot of like,
rate really is defined as.
There's a lot of asterisk number note at the bottom to a source.
The goal is it sounds really good to investors. That's the goal. So you do have to be careful.
Yeah.
Clearly, we don't know what it is.
I did like this earnings call a little bit more than ones in the past. Earnings calls are not fun to listen to usually, but we got a lot of information about Destiny, and to hear Activision sort of back up Bungie and be like, we're supporting them for the most part, except for the in-game revenues, that makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. But
But then again, you get paid by them, so.
No, I do not. Crimson Days, aka Crimson Doubles, is coming back. It begins February 13th.
Yeah.
It brings back the Burnout, aka Burning Shrine, the Trials of Osiris origin map. CJ is stoked. They took the sun and they darkened it,
Best map.
Yeah. So you can actually
see
shoot
outside,
people
now.
Outside.
Yeah, it is the best map. Mm. It was the best map.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a different Vex version of it.
Basically.
Alternate reality. Yeah. Simulation.
It looks cool.
A bunch of stuff in my notes, but basically rewards you get from the Crimson Engram are on a knockout basis, so you're going to prevent – it says it's going to prevent duplicates until all gear is earned.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool.
That is an improvement.
Yep.
You're also going to receive an Illuminated Engram and Crimson Engram when you level up during Crimson Days. However, they specify that Crimson Engrams are only earnable through gameplay, so that's kind of – I'm a little confused.
No, that's good.
Well, that's actually a big change because the last time they introduced like a timed event like this, one of the big complaints that the community had was that you weren't able to earn, I forget what the name of the engram was, but like you couldn't earn that particular engram just by doing regular gameplay oriented.
The Dawning engram.
Was it the Dawning?
The Dawning, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the big complaints. So if they addressed it this time around, like just doing things in the game will allow me to get the Crimson engrams, that's big improvement.
Yep. There's no cap on Crimson Engrams. You must be level 25. Tess will still sell stuff that's in the Engrams for Bright Dust, and you can dismantle the stuff that you get for Bright Dust, so it's kind of circular there. Much less emphasis on the Eververse. Yeah.
Small caveat, actually, if you're not, if you don't have the expansion, it's okay if you're level 20 as well. So it adjusts for either. That's absolutely true.
Okay.
They made it clear that you don't have to have the expansion. It said if you're level 25, you qualify. If you're level 20, you also qualify. Yes.
Oh, okay.
This is one of those free events. And again, they're giving away a map in it, and now you get that permanently after the event.
They're addressing the Curse of Osiris problems where certain things were locked off, and they're like, no, everybody can do Crimson Days.
You also get a task for completion. There's a welcome mission in the tower, which gives you a ghost and an emblem, an ornament for doing the raid for Wardrift Coil, whatever they renamed it to.
Yeah.
PvP Sparrow, and a dance for doing the Nightfall.
Wait, they renamed that weapon?
It's not Wardrift Coil. What's it called?
Wardcliff Coil.
No, it's Wardcliff. We used to call it We had another name.
Dubious Volley.
That's what it was. You're
that's
right.
What he's
so I am
about.
Saying the right name.
Yeah.
You guys are right.
So just basically, a joke name you guys came up with.
It was an early name for it in the early versions. Yeah.
So here's what I like about Crimson Days, not Crimson Doubles, as it was in Destiny 1. It's easier to acquire some of the items like the Sparrow and a Dance and such.
Yep.
The fact that they're eliminating doubles, that is a big step in the right direction. If they do that across the board,
yeah, matchmaking,
is going to be great.
Yeah.
They're bringing back something old and presenting it like it's something new with the map that I don't like.
Oh.
So, I mean, I'm excited to play on the map, but making that a selling point. Hey, here's that thing
distant
that you had before.
Shade all over
but it's
again.
Free, though. Mm.
It is free. That's a good point, CJ. And it'll probably go into the rotation. So that's actually a really good point.
Yes.
It is a free update.
Mm-hmm.
I love that map.
New.
I get your point.
I do love that map. I'm glad it's there. Why wasn't it there?
Totally remade. Yeah.
That's what fans are probably going to ask.
I don't mind that.
This is the second map we already had in Destiny 1 that has been put into the game. And it's like, oh, cool, that thing that I should have had at the beginning.
Well, ooh, is the map going to...
That's how people feel.
I disagree.
Is the map going to stay or go away? Different discussion, but...
Sure, the time stayed after the event.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Why can't all the maps just stay?
Bungie always does this. We talked about this one episode where, again, you know, Heretic was the midship remake from Halo 2. And they do this where they change lanes and they change aesthetics and all that stuff. I'm interested just to see how it plays. We'll talk about PvP in a second, but for me, the outside, the sunshine, those are all fundamental things of Burning Shrine.
Yeah.
I hope it feels the same, and I know
it will change the outside.
Sun was too bright.
It was too bright.
Was.
Yeah,
that's what made it annoying.
It was a vantage point in a way, but yeah, it depends on. I'm excited to see Burning Shrine. I will say that it coming back, I don't have a problem with that at all. I like when they release these, you know,
but it should have been there, right?
I don't know. The should have been there thing to me is it's irrelevant. It's like it launched with what it launched. And I like that now there's other things coming back down the line.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's a question of if you have enough maps or not. I think predicated on that, it should have been there at launch, meaning we needed more maps at launch. So why not reuse old ones you have?
Yeah.
That's my view. But I'm fine with it being re-released, though.
It's a sequel. I would rather have something new. And I would rather they just had an event where they're like, hey, we're bringing back all your favorite maps from Destiny 1 if they're going to do it that way instead of piecemealing them out.
Halo's done this from game to game to game. But they'll bring back an old map that was fan favorite for a new one. They rename it and it plays a little differently or whatever.
Calling it right now, Twilight Gap will be the next one.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I like Twilight.
Probably.
Game.
Yeah.
But like, my point is, you know, it shouldn't, I think the expectation that every map that was in the game before should be available in the sequel, I think that's a little entitled.
Yeah.
But I like this idea of if we're going to get new maps, I mean, not new maps, if we're going to get maps added to the pool, that they're old ones that have been revamped for the new sequel, that's fine as long as it's free.
Yeah.
If I'm going to pay for it, then I do want it to be new.
And you do have to remember, they switched to 4v4. I know 6v6 might be coming.
But this makes
a lot of sense on the sense it is 2v2. It's a very small map, so it makes a lot of sense under those terms.
You guys have me on the point about it being free. It is a free piece of content update. Mm-hmm. We should be happy about it. But to me, it just feels like they're using something old and repurposing it as new. And that's been a problem with Destiny for so long. Like when they released Rise of Iron, it felt like reskin enemies to the audience, right? And that was a major complaint. So I think the audience is going to react the same way. It's like, oh, great, I'm excited about this new map, but I've done this before.
Yeah. And just for clarity, what did you want for Crimson Days?
I am super excited.
For a map.
I mean, for a map?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, something new?
Yeah, that's all. Just for clarity, you just wanted a totally brand new map introduced we get to keep.
Yep. And in addition, hey, we're giving you this whole new map that we developed for Crimson Days especially. And guys, we love you. We're bringing back one of your favorites.
Right.
Yeah.
Double
two.
Dose.
You want two maps.
Yeah. Well,
it's used
it's
to
a
be
double
Crimson
double
experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
it takes two to tango.
Yeah. Yeah. For
there
doubles.
It is.
That's just my take. And I'm actually happy about the new map. I love Burning Shrine.
Burning Shrine was amazing. To me, the only thing they could have done was said, okay, guess what, guys? Classic Trials is coming back as well. Yeah,
I would lose my mind. That would be awesome.
I thought that was going to be happening. Yeah. I'm like, where is it? Okay.
For Crimson
Burning
Doubles,
Shrine,
you thought that was
well,
happen?
I thought maybe
you
once
saw, the
saw Burning Shrine. Because Burning Shrine was the Trials map. It was the opening launch of Trials. So
maybe this is them setting it up.
I hope so.
See, definitely now I would have a problem with that.
What?
If they brought
Not. I would love having trials back, but I kind of have a philosophical problem of everyone being happy to get something they already had.
Well, that's true. They
we don't have it. We don't have it. We don't have it at all, though.
No, I know, but it shouldn't be that way.
But such is the state of Destiny 2 right now.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that are coming back that are being presented.
Let's not get too caught up on that. Do you love the new trials? Are you, is that why? Okay, then did you like the old trials?
Yeah.
Well, let's just stick to
bring
that for
it
now.
Back.
I know.
I mean, I hear you. We don't
but you
want,
get
I agree.
How it's like, you know.
Chris Baer was
recycle.
Chris Baer was asking for feedback on Twitter, and I'm like, for now, just reactivate trials in Destiny 1. That's going to make your hardcore base happy, and then announce that it's coming to Destiny 2 eventually.
Yeah,
and
in
then
the fall.
Make that transition. But the fact that you took it away and gave a new version that people aren't liking. I think if you gave us 3v3, once you adjust all the powers and everything, it's
see,
really
I think it's a lot more than just reintroducing 3v3.
Because of the infrastructure.
The whole PvP game balance is tailored towards a different playstyle.
And we'll talk about that. Yeah. That, I think, is going to be a challenge. Bringing it back. We will talk about it. But no, on that point, I would love to understand why, PvP and Trials was taken out of Destiny 1. I joked before that happened that I would continue to play that. Conversations about Twitch numbers and all that other stuff when you look at PvP being the thing that kept Destiny alive. That was some of the topics you had last week, I think.
There were a lot of stories that people keep telling me about that. We are seeing the lowest PvP numbers based on a small sample size.
Right.
But lowest PvP numbers that we have seen in Destiny history. And that's concerning, obviously. I'm sure for Bungie and for the community.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But maybe should we round out the Crimson Doubles conversation?
Yeah. So I'm not excited for it. Like a little bit.
Oh,
that's what I think.
To
be fair, I didn't enjoy it that much in Destiny 1. It wasn't that fun for me. I think CJ and I played a little bit and then I was like, okay, I get it. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, let's go to CJ.
It was elimination though before, right? And now it's Clash 2v2. We don't know all the mechanics exactly.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it would have been really cool if they had done something unique and interesting with the doubles aspect, right? Like,
I wanted to bring that up, but.
Oh.
Seems like they did.
Are we on the same page?
It's
no.
The same.
Well, I was going to suggest, like,
there's
it would
a team
be cool.
shot thing. Go ahead. There's a
well,
meta
there's
there.
A few things. Meaning, I just want to make sure we do discuss. They say, okay, the combat scenario is 2v2 clash with a round-based twist. They didn't quite say what that is, I don't think, right? But what I noticed was they talk about the sun's been darkened. That's why
that's called
the burnout.
Yeah.
But only light to be found comes from you and your partner. Fighting is one. Look in the screenshot. You're lit. There's like a light on you. So I'm wondering what that is mechanically.
That's the buff if you're close together with each other.
Right.
Yeah.
But meaning it's in this dark environment. So I think that's going to play.
So maybe it's pitch black and only when you're near each other.
I don't think it's that, but like I'm
how
getting a sense.
How scary is Crimson Day?
I'll bet you aren't generating super over time unless you're near your buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but meaning that just they say it's dark and there's this light around you. And so I don't know if that plays much in the mechanics.
We'll see.
Well, it does in the sense that you're close, you're generating your abilities, so you're super like able to see each other.
Yeah.
It probably goes out a bit when you're separated, but
the concern was that it kind of also promotes the same thing that I think people are kind of a little bit fundamentally upset with Destiny 2 about is that you are constantly always with a teammate, which is not a problem, but right now in Crimson Doubles, it fosters more of that, hey, let's just like be buddy buddy and
been
stick
like,
next to each other.
Have you played Halo doubles? Like, maybe. Why not make it 2v2v2v2? Like,
that was that I've seen that really in the fun. Comment sections again.
That would have been
something
really
that Destiny's
fun.
Done in their infrastructure yet.
It just adds like a whole other level of gameplay. You know?
Yeah,
we still have three topics to get through, so I don't want to spend too much time. Any final thoughts about Crimson Days?
Until you try it.
The one positive aspect I will say, and it's weird to say this, but I'm happy that they have the knockout policy where you're
super
get
happy.
Your duplicates.
Yes.
I'm like, that's just how it should have been.
It becomes yeah. like a checklist.
Yes. Yeah.
Just keep going. Did you get everything? No, I want to get it all. Keep going. Keep going. And then you get it. It's that's kind of what we really need right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited to play on the new map.
Yes.
I don't know about the mode.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it in Destiny 1. That's why I'm not that excited for the sequel.
Yeah. Yeah. Final comment. So Sean and I did a Dawning episode when it was just the two of us. These are all positive changes. This is – they heard all the complaints of hashtag Eververse more or less addressed. Almost all of them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
game's fixed.
Within the context of this DLC, if it or with this free event, if it had been the same, people would have not only probably been like, I'm out, they would have been very mad, and this is positive.
So let's talk about some of the other major changes. including Nightfall scoring. This one's pretty big, and to me, Nightfall scoring sounds a lot like what they did with Halo Reach, and that has me really excited because it was one of my favorite modes in Halo Reach. I would go do Grunt Birthday Party for hours just because it was so fun. Nightfall is all about scores now. Score does bleed over time. Scoring is team-based, earn points with kills and orb generation. There's a passive 15-minute time limit, meaning once you reach it, you don't drop out of the game, but you reduce your score by 50% for points earned. And then after 18 minutes, you stop earning points. You can complete it solo. That's a big change, and I think people are really going to like it.
Yeah.
Challenge cards can add a modifier that will send you to orbit on death, or you can – that's called
old
extinguish.
School.
Yeah, old school.
So
it's
cool.
Like D1. There's a power modifier that will decrease your power to gain score bonus. And there's one called Singe, which increases damage 25% for your elemental sources like Void, Arc, or Solar. What else do I got here? Scores can be shown off on your emblems for each Nightfall. And you get an aura if you beat the community average score, which grants a buff in token drop for your entire team. All of that sounds excellent. Yeah, I am really excited to hear this revamp for Nightfall because it reminds me so much of what they did with Reach, where you could like pick and choose the modifiers, pick how difficult it's going to be.
Yep.
There's going to be like a community sort of leaderboard thing. They did this in House of Wolves They did it later with Prison of Elders There was a challenge. And I actually love seeing, did that same team who won last week, are they winning again?
Yeah.
I enjoyed that a lot. But those teams would sort of just mob or they'd hit the mobs over and over again.
Yeah.
So they're working on that. It's also not just rushing through the encounter, which was one of their design
That's positive.
Design goals. Yeah. Goals. So yeah. What do you guys think about Nightfall scoring? Are you gonna check it out? I will.
Yeah. To me, I think the biggest thing is that people wanted to do the Nightfall solo. They couldn't do that with a timer. The timer was a cool modifier. That needed to be maybe once a month, not every single week. And besides that, I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah.
That was the big thing I was going to bring up, too. The ability to do it solo, just having the ability and not feeling like, well, I'm not going to do Nightfall. I can't find anyone right now, which is a big problem. I want the reward. So that's huge. And then I do think this arcade-y, you know, style and nature of it, bringing back some of the leaderboard stuff.
Yeah.
Datto, congrats on the first win. Looking forward to seeing the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah.
But, I'm, like, super excited to see just how it feels to be competing for the aura and some of these other things. I like those elements.
Yeah. What about you, Sean?
I do too. I think the way to spice up like PvE events where you're doing the same things over and over again is to add challenge modes and to give players the ability to customize the challenges so that they're challenging their team in ways that they find are interesting.
Because
it sucks when you're like, oh, these set of modifiers make it sound really not fun and you have to do it anyway.
Yeah. But it's and you get the strategy.
Yeah.
Like, it's the difficulty. So
yeah, but I love the idea about like you deciding to put your own modifiers on there and formulating your own team strategy, right?
And you get to show it off too, like with your emblem, which is supposedly going to drop after completing it for the first time for whatever strike it happens to be that week.
Oh, I didn't catch this. It's been a very busy week.
Yeah.
How do the challenge cards work? Do we know?
So you actually,
are they random?
You get them as a drop, I believe. Then you turn on the modifiers you want. That's what it looks like.
I don't quite
understand.
Okay.
We're going to have to see it in
action. So potentially, or maybe it's a fact, but you can like, if you want to put the death card in there and go old school and be like, guys, like, this is the challenge. That's really cool. If you can do that.
I don't know if you can activate all three or if you can only do one at a time, but I really like that.
Yeah. I like the idea of it getting a little OG once in a while.
It's like Halo Skulls, man. You could turn on all the skulls, go do Grunt Birthday Party and see how long you survived.
Yeah. Yep.
But just like I did like old school Nightfall for the fear of death, but I didn't want it all the time. And this is a kind of interesting way to twist around that.
And this is just what they're starting with. I believe they said this is May. I forgot to write that down, but I think this is coming in. No, the raid stuff's coming in May, which we'll talk about
2019.
In just a second. Yep, sorry.
No.
Yeah.
I'm messing around.
Oh, man.
Just in case.
All right, so
the
other changes are coming to the raid. Here we go. With expansion 2, all raids have a new curated loadout mode. Now, this is really intriguing, and I don't know how I feel about this one. It's for prestige versions of all of the raid. Hypothetical examples include modifiers and loadout requirements. So here is one of the examples they gave. Week 1, raid activity, Eater of Worlds. Modifier, Marksman, precision damage is increased. Landing a precision shot grants one ammo directly to the magazine. Interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, required loadout is hand cannon, scout rifle, and linear fusion. Now that one works, but let's look at one that is much less optimized.
Sidearm, submachine, and body maybe?
Yeah. So
that's really close.
Expansion 2, raid lair. the raid lair, which you have to do ranged damage, would be, where was it? Sidearm, submachine gun, and shotgun. How are you going to do damage to the bots on Eater of Worlds? And the modifier would be Gladiator. Your melee damage is increased and melee kills grant bonus super. So I guess you're going to have to use your supers to DPS the boss.
Well, it looks like you're really going to depend on melee to get you're getting in close and just really relying on that melee.
It'll be like Superman
get a shield
or something.
Yeah, exactly. These are hypothetical loadouts, by the way, and they specified that in the update.
Interesting.
I like this change, and this is how they're getting around the Eater of Worlds not having a prestige version to unlock your emblems. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm going to have to wait and try it out. So I'm kind of like on the fence.
I kind of like this. I think if you look back to Destiny 1 and people started doing this late in the game, they created these challenges for themselves anyways to just do it. They're like, hey, I've ran Proto like 60 times. Let's do it like 70th time like this.
We've done
All because it's cool. Exactly. So I like that stuff. I think the biggest question is, how implementation and how it works. And a lot of this stuff, like you want some kind of reward for it. So like I would
be – the ornaments.
Right, but to me, it's like the ornaments are cool, but I would like some kind of special. I wish there was a little bit more something to grind for.
Well, you mean within the curated mode, maybe that's in there.
In a lot of these,
probably
things,
an emblem, like, but
that's what I mean. And an emblem's fine, but it would be nice if there was some kind. I'm not saying it's not, but ships, sparrows, ghosts. There's not a lot of things in Destiny right now besides emblems that say, "Hey, you've done this really cool activity, and this was a custom thing you got from beating this boss."
Except the ornamentations that are being activated, the new ghost that drops from the raid, the new ship.
That's
I want new stuff. Here's three new examples.
So it's all coming. That stuff wasn't was not here to this point, is what I'm saying, really. Like it wasn't.
I know.
A lot of that stuff prior to the Exoticos and stuff was
and we're
only
getting a new
in Evermiss. Okay.
Now,
I see.
It does make
does it stack?
That's right.
I just don't like
answered that on the episode.
I don't like I don't like the angle that the game chooses for you. Like, once you did Crota over and over again, or the raids over and over again, you impose, like, these weird limitations on yourself and your fire team. As long as you're the one doing that, I think that's fine.
Yeah. But that's cool to
I think it would suck. Cause, like, for instance, kinetic, like, if it requires a sidearm, sorry, I don't ever use sidearms. Like, I dismantle all of them. I don't have a good one.
So I
have to use that to be able to do this? Like,
for the sidearm, submachine gun, shotgun, it actually said expansion 2 raid layer, which tells me the boss is not going to be a floating monster. He's going to be like chasing you around or something.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, yeah, but you see the point, right? Like, there's potential to be pigeonholed into using a weapon you don't necessarily like.
Okay, so wait.
It's a challenge.
Come on,
but why can't I choose?
Why you?
Brand's next.
I'm just mad that, like, it's funny because, I'm just.
He's moving
time
his collar?
Out, though. Like, this is just an additional thing. Like, you still get the raid lair. You get the raid. We're going to get prestige. I forget when on raid lair, right?
It's not until
this is prestige for raid lair.
Yeah.
But it's also for Leviathan, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's use Leviathan as the example. So you got raid, regular, then you got prestige. Now you have this third mode to choose from when you're bored and you've done it 100 times. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, I just wanted to say on that front, I feel like this is something we talk about on the show. We're like, wouldn't it be cool if there was this mode where you could, like, have a curated loadout? And so
this is curated loadout mode, which will be added.
But it's a third mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I like
it's good.
You know, it's an extra thing to do if you want and you're bored of the other modes. And maybe that's what I'm trying to understand. Like, do you not like their choice of the third mode, Sean? Or do you just – you want them to fix the first two?
No, it's a combination of those two things, right? So I want them to fix the first two. Two, like, I want to feel like I can choose to do a challenge thing that empowers me. Basically, like – yes, it's a third mode. I'm happy that there's a third way to do this, but it's about the implementation. Mm. I thought it would have been really cool if in that third mode, it's like, here are all the restrictions you can choose from, and if you choose these ones, it gives you X reward, and then I get to make the choice which ones I would like to do.
Which restrictions you have. Mm.
Whatever they are, what if the reward, like, what if it's something I really want to do, like the reward, whatever it is, right? I don't know, an emblem, a ghost, whatever, a ship.
Or maybe it gives you one of the weapons you've been chasing. And
yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
But the restriction is three guns that I personally have never used before or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now I feel coerced to have to find those things in order to be able to do what I want to do. I don't like that.
I think that's the objective, though.
No, but my main thing is just it's not a problem with the mode. I love that we're having a new opportunity to do the same thing over again in a different way.
Yeah.
It's just the implementation. That's all. Mm. Like, I think there was maybe potentially – and I say this knowing, like, without knowing at all what the rewards are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the reward question is, it's a huge caveat. I think what I'm trying to say then is random rolls in a weird kind of way where I don't.
Oh, here we go.
I know. Well, I don't want to, but it is.
What's up next on the show? The vault.
Exactly. Let's, no, so, but no, I think it's, I think it's really good. To me, it's like, you remember playing Halo 2 with zombies. I thought that was super cool when zombies turned into a mode in Halo 3 where they implemented exactly what the community was manually doing. Mm. And a lot of people were doing these kind of things in Destiny 1.
Yeah. You know, like, so for instance, like, wouldn't it be cool if, like, on this expansion 2 raid lair, the one where you have to use a shotgun. I don't know. I don't think I've ever used a shotgun in the game. Have you?
What? In Destiny 2?
What?
Yeah. Oh, this is the icebreaker comment again. Yeah. Sean.
Like, Hawthorne, go get Legend of Acarius.
Oh, I have Legend of Acarius.
Zenith of your kind. I don't. So many.
Like, is it? It's not better than a rocket.
Let's just assume
it's
that you have
better than a rocket.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah. You don't use it much, or you haven't.
Yeah, but like the point, like if it would be, it would be really cool if it was like, hey, you can choose this set of restrictions, and what it'll do is it'll give you this reward that gives you knee pads, a mod that gives you knee pads, or like shot package or something. Then I'm like, oh snap! Now it makes sense why the restriction is I have to use a shotgun, because the reward is the a really good shotgun perk.
And if
like,
you don't want it, you just skip it.
Yeah, like, and if you don't want it, well, I don't have to do that one.
Like random rolls or mods, right. Sean.
Oh, but to be fair, the the example does lean into that. Your melees are more powerful. It's putting you up close to use close-up weapons.
Sure, but do I get a better melee? Like,
or that, yeah, maybe. You run faster, you slide farther. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah,
I
mean, like tie the rewards. Tie the rewards to the modifier and then give me a choice of modifiers. Like, that's just the implementation I personally would have thought would be cool. I'm not saying it's not cool as it is because we don't really know much about it. Like, so much of what Bungie chooses to do in the game is cool in theory, and then in practice, it's sort of a little lackluster.
Yeah.
Hater's gonna hate, man.
I'm not a hater.
It depends on.
I love.
I don't know if it's gonna be good. I was just meaning like.
I think it's good.
I'm gonna wait and see.
We really don't know what this is yet.
Like Sean's guessing about the rewards and stuff like that. Yeah. That could be what it is when we see it in action.
But I do think the point is well taken. It really needs to feel worth it and not just like basically not just something you could do on your own anyway, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that is well taken.
The final small thing before we get to all CGA's PvP stuff was I want to talk about the Bungie forum changes. There were some changes in the forum where it's only going to be open to Destiny 2 players now who have reached the farm.
And new shotgun before.
Sorry, Sean.
Yeah. That begins next week, and it seemed like that the community was pretty unhappy about this. They saw this as another way of Bungie blocking feedback from the community. I don't know how I feel about it personally, and I kind of wanted to ask you guys.
Really? Because it seemed like you were pretty miffed about it off air.
No, I'm not, actually. But I've seen the perception from the community, and they've been pretty miffed about it. There's like a lot of videos out there saying that like this is another miss where Bungie's not listening. And I didn't necessarily feel that way. I was kind of like, I think it's really strange that you have to play Destiny 2 to talk in the Bungie forum. The only reason I'm not that mad about it is because I don't use the forums.
So wait, does this apply to Destiny like as a whole now? So if you want to talk about Destiny 1, there's no room for that? That's what I was trying to – I thought it was just for Destiny 2 conversations. It's like if you want to talk about Halo, you have to play Destiny 2.
It's the forums. And Deets did a post about talking about back in the Halo days where you had to reach a certain threshold before you were able to do certain things. And for Destiny, this is what they decided on.
But in the forums?
It's strange. Yeah, it's just a weird
thing. I think it is a
thing.
It's very strong arm, but they've been, you know, they've been very experienced, maybe is the right word, with communities for a long time. So they obviously have the reasons. Clearly it is to keep out, I think, the riffraff who are just hating and hating. And what I can at least relate to is that when we had Fireteam Chat on our main core channels on YouTube, on IGN, like, you guys were out there, but there's all these other people just like, honestly, drag down the conversation. We got to the point where it was one of the main reasons, and man, was it refreshing when we're like, Fireteam Chat, you have to sub here and go. Like, if you went out of your way, you probably really like the game and want to talk about it. The conversation got so much better.
Yeah.
Then the game kind of, you know, got all messed up and it's been a little salty. But, but seriously, think there's something in there. If we see a quality of life improvement.
Well, CJ just said go to Reddit.
Well, yeah, I mean, really, if you want to lay salt down, like, that's where it is. And for the most part, even our Fireteam Chat comments section, like, now that we have the separate channel, I appreciate there's a lot of negative ones that maybe don't agree with everything that we say.
Yeah, I don't care. You don't have to. But I do like that it's like it's Fireteam Chat Destiny based. On IGN, you're right. It was IGN. It was random, all kinds of garbage.
Call of Duty
everywhere.
Sucks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is Destiny show, but whatever.
Yeah. So I don't mind that overall. I think that the videos that I've watched and I've seen the angle, it's like, oh, whatever. But in all honesty, and around here, how many people have ever posted on Bungie.net?
I did back in the Halo days.
I did, I think, once in the Halo days as well. I don't think I've ever posted for Destiny 2 or 1 related type things since Reddit.
I've read the forums.
I am all for like curating your community's discussion, especially if there's like rampant negativity. Like, you don't want to have a community where people who want to come and have actual discussions or talk with other fans have to like sift through a mountain of negativity to get to what they want.
People still play this game? Like,
But like I said before, I think it maybe comes down to implementation, like how they decided to do it. I don't know if restricting the people who can contribute to the discussion to people who've gone as far in Destiny 2 specifically its campaign.
And who have played the game to have the discussion.
There's maybe better ways to filter out the people who are just coming in to hate, right?
Yeah.
But we'll
verify
be able to
your email address
a week or so from now.
Connect
we'll be able
your Bungie
to,
account next week.
So next week it'll be adjusted this way.
In my theme.
I have no doubt it'll work.
I understand.
They'll probably also limit.
I already don't use it. I'm probably. I already don't use it. And if I'm a user who hasn't played Destiny yet, I'm really not going to use it now. So now you've eliminated a huge percentage of your user base. I mean, if that's the intention, great. But a lot of people also see it as a paywall to be able to comment on Bungie.net. Like, you have to buy Destiny 2. You have to play it for an hour and a half.
That's an interesting perspective, too.
So,
I was going to say, like, what happens when the goalpost moves? Like, what happens when, you know, the next expansion comes out and they
Did you play Taken Queen?
Yeah, now you have to move the goalpost. Like, now to be able to comment, you have to do that. Like, that kind of sucks, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the extent of all these changes that we'll be able to see next week, but I have a feeling they'll land on like, okay, this is the free general room, and this is the, like, for Destiny.
This is the VIP.
And maybe you might still have a place to talk.
We will see. I want to bring it up.
Eververse only room.
We will see. I want to bring it up because the community is discussing it this week, and CJ definitely wanted to talk about PvP. So
that's all the time we have on today's show.
It is the end of the show is what I'm saying.
I want to talk about it too. I'm glad CJ is here for it.
Go ahead. So CJ has
8 minutes.
4 pages. Pages of stuff he wants to go through. So go ahead, CJ, take it away.
I was in Ottawa last week. There was the Go Fast update. That was part of the Josh Hamrick address that was made to
You'll move faster. Maybe. That's all we have time for, everybody.
All right, sounds good. We at least got a good 10 minutes for this. No, I mean, I think everybody's in kind of agreement with this. PvP, are you playing much of it right now, yes or no?
Played a ton of Iron Banner.
Oh, okay, interesting. Yeah. Graham, what about you? Any trials, PvP, what do you play?
I played Iron Banner recently, but in general, I only play raids and stuff like that.
Yep.
I hop in and out of stuff like Banner.
Yeah, and Sean, how much Halo 5, I mean, Destiny 2 have you played?
Yeah, I have not been playing PvP or Destiny 2 for weeks.
Okay.
There's a little incentive to do so.
Yeah.
So this is a large consensus with the community, is that when you see Twitch numbers dwindling, and unfortunately there's people like Lumi, Crafty, and major Destiny players, and a lot of the community playing other games, what are you playing?
Fortnite, PUBG,
Monster Hunter,
Warframe,
Halo,
Division.
I think some of this is because PvP is a little lacking. And so just looking at some of the details that
we know, actually.
Well, exactly. So,
by the way, leaving a 2 to 3 month old game to play a different game isn't crazy. That's what people do.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's a story.
Wrong. And that's true. But the crazy thing about it is, how many of us did that in Destiny 1?
Yeah.
I did.
You left Destiny 1 to play other games?
No, I still played Destiny 1. I just also played other stuff.
See, I didn't. I played Destiny 1 for 3 years straight, every single weekend, almost every single day.
To be fair, you basically just played Bungie games only for the last, like, 2 decades.
And also that. But I played I played Titanfall tons, like, probably days. I played every single Call of Duty, except for Infinite.
I mean, CJ's PvP history aside, PvP is clearly lacking.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
We're just messing around, actually.
I agree.
Obviously,
that's the lure is gone.
The thing is, people have left. That's fine. Yep. They will come back to the next expansion at least to check it out. That's what I think is going to happen.
We'll see.
Prove me wrong.
I also
prove me wrong and stop buying stuff at the Eververse while you're at it.
But that's where I think it's great to get some info from Josh, and I'll go through a couple of the things. I think the Go Fast update could be broken down into a couple points. The biggest ones that I saw, and if you haven't read it, it was last week's from
it was exciting.
It was really good.
We've
buffed several weapon archetypes, including but not limited to hand cannons, pulse rifles, sniper rifles, and shotguns.
And the key goal here is to make shotgun, snipers, and fusion rifles more prevalent in the game.
The power weapons we want to use, they want to be usable.
They're functional.
All great. But to me, the question is this. It's not using them that's the issue.
It's the system.
It's the system. And so right now, how do you fix acquiring the weapon where if you do get power ammo, and they go through those details as well, mm-hmm. maybe more power
often. Timers are
Oh, I'm faster. Sorry. You mean if I shoulder charge you away from the power armor and power ammo and steal it?
Oh, I did that so bad in the stream
that's
yesterday.
That's what everybody does.
Still
I
do
felt
it.
Felt so
It's so
terrible.
Funny.
It's not a good mechanic.
Okay,
it's
but they're
not.
Changing it.
So they're
it's literally every time it's just like you're pushing against each other trying to be closer. I don't even know why I get it half the time.
So that's the thing. Like, there's this system right now, that if you're not playing with teammates where you go, hey man, I'm going to go get the power ammo. Blah, blah, blah. And even then, sometimes when you are playing with your teammates, it's like,
I
got this.
I always charge. Always.
Exactly.
So I never get it.
So what do you guys think? Because I mentioned my special ammo update. Does this excite you or are you fearful still of the rocket situation?
Right. But wait, the key fact though is – enemies now drop power bricks. After they've acquired it, mm-hmm. right? So that's you're gonna get bricks, and they lasted for
I was gonna mention that.
Was it minutes or
30 seconds?
30 seconds after it drops.
So
they're gonna be lying around.
That's a cool mechanic. What I do like about that because that was a feature in Mayhem. That was also very early in Destiny 1. I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah.
That. There's this other element to the game that requires you to get power besides the locations that are on the wall, which is nice. The problem is, I still think ultimately, if somebody has a rocket, you're gonna be up against
the guy
say,
who like,
has a rocket, and then he kills you, and you're like,
pop a bubble.
Like, exactly. It's you can buff the other weapons all you want. Like, rocket still wins. So you need to figure out a better system in incentivizing people to use the other power weapons, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, before in Destiny 1, it was easy, right? You didn't have to compete between rocket, sniper, shotguns because there was a separate slot.
Yep.
Maybe that's the answer. Maybe there's a fourth weapon slot. Specialty weapons.
Well, wait, though. If there's more ammo, I mean, again, I'm not saying it's the same.
But it's just more people using rockets.
Yes.
Is the thing.
You know, having
to, like, when are you ever going to, like, minus the top tier players.
CJ snipes all the time. He does
in
well.
Particular.
I try.
Yeah. So, like, minus particular players who are extremely good snipers in particular situations on maps, rockets almost always better shotguns, snipers, fusions.
I just played a whole ton of Iron Banner over the last 2 weeks, and the main weapons I saw were sword and
Acrius.
And
Acrius.
Sword?
Yeah. Sword and shotgun.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you haven't played in a few weeks, but a lot of people have went towards that meta where
there's a lot of rocket
and shotty.
I mean,
there is rocket also. One thing I didn't see, snipers.
Fusions, absolutely.
And fusions.
Yeah.
Zero snipers.
Because they
and
don't.
Fusions.
I did see some Telesto.
Yeah. I'm trying snipers because I just want to feel that feeling again. And again, the swing sway, the flinch, all those other things right now, it's the snipers are unfortunately feel kind of broken in comparison to Destiny 1. But to me, that's where I don't know if this will fix that. Two primaries and a power, I think, is the conversation people keep coming back to. But I don't think that that is going to change.
If I go around a corner and I see two people, I'm still dead.
Yes, and so the team shot meta, they're all the rest of the stuff. Exactly.
So your point,
So to me, I keep thinking, I mentioned my thing that I thought that what was exciting about Masterworks are those kind of potential options down the road. They need to create something that generates ammo for those weapons that allows you to use them more often. Because I think you're right for the most part. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Icebreaker, no lamb.
I'm joking.
No, they were big, like, let's just use those. So to me, it's like, what do you think they could do to make those weapons viable again? Because I think Sean's right for the most part. Power is going to be typically used for rockets.
Mm-hmm. Invective also had generating ammo.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty slow.
Very slow,
though. So you think, we don't know, but you think that the problem could be that there's just more rockets on the field now?
Yeah.
Like, meaning if there's going to be.
That's going to happen.
There is factually going to be more power ammo.
There's too many.
So you think it's just going to be too many rockets?
Yeah. There's too many one-hit power items and sniper, fusion, and shotgun in the power slot. So that to me is the issue. They made that decision to go elemental for the two primary thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm wondering is, remove, okay, we had this in Destiny 1. What can they do now to change that? And I don't know that this fixes anything if they don't reverse the slots.
So,
and I don't think they're going to reverse the slots.
So I think you're right. The inclination is right. However, you know, you think about it, it's going to change the meta because you have bigger magazines on other things. And before, you have to make this choice. Like, I'm alive. I've got this to use for now. When I die, that's it. So, like, you were more than happy to take a rocket or two, right? And you're like, because you want a one-hit kill.
Yeah.
But then you're, like, usually dead or whatever, or just out of rockets. But meaning now you can walk around with a lot of sniper ammo and a lot of fusions, right? That changes – like, meaning when you – I mean, you die, you lose it, but meaning there's going to be more stuff flying around more often that people are just going to have the weapon more commonly.
Yes.
Meaning you I don't know, I feel like you're going to worry a little less about, okay, it's my one chance for power. Now it becomes persistent.
Yeah.
More persistent, maybe not persistent enough.
I mean, I don't think it's I think it's less about the worry about having to make a choice about the ammo. I think it's more about, like, you choose a rocket because it's a like, if you get pretty anywhere near, it's a guaranteed hit, one kill. You can get multiple kills. And the TTK, that's the thing, is the TTK is the lowest on the
side. And guys are all latching onto this power ammo thing. Sean's right. It's about the time to kill. That's the problem. It's
the reason people choose rockets is because it kills people the fastest.
And they're being buffed.
Yeah. So time out, though, like in the betas and when things were warming up and nobody knew what they were doing yet. I mean, I would go on big streaks with fusions. Part of it was the way people were playing. Like, part of it was the magazine size, and you're just running around with a ton of power ammo. So I guess I'm being optimistic that, honestly, I really liked using fusions in the beta. Yeah. I don't know exactly what changed.
They nerfed
I mean, I love
– that was part of it.
Like, in Destiny 1, man, the Plan C days, I loved using that in PvP because if you were good – you could, like, slay people.
Shock and Awe exists, which is basically – it's like the Plan C. It's not Plan C. Anyway, I'm being optimistic. I do think – like, think about it. More swords, more fusion. You're going to see some meta changes inevitably, and I think it's one of those things you got to get out there. But I also think the speed is actually huge.
Speed is huge.
Because it changes, like, just the ability to get to and fro, this team kill perspective. You might be able to just – you know, conquest people.
You're right, Fran. Anyway, it is going to change.
I'm excited for the changes.
Yes.
It's going to change the meta a little bit. Shoulder charges still don't kill people in one hit. Grenades still don't do any damage, basically.
But that's okay. Those were things that they brought to attention because you would run around shoulder charging people all the time. And stickies were an issue, right? So I think.
But they made it useless.
You're right.
And that's the problem.
You're absolutely right. So this.
And then we use it as a traversal thing, and they're like, we don't want you playing that way. We're taking it away. And then they're like, oh, that was a mistake.
Yeah, they rebuffed
it. They undid it.
So. Realize your mistake about grenades and shoulder charges. And
so that's the thing. I think sticky grenades needs to get you down basically to like a one hit kill after. Right now, you're right. They are useless and most people don't use them. Mm-hmm. But that's where I think what happened with shotgun fusion and snipers is that it was so prevalent in Destiny 1.
Ugh.
And even you, but so right here.
I was thinking about stickies, not the
shotgun. Okay, very good. Sorry. But no, it's interesting. Like, yeah, when you accommodate for, I think the challenge was with people and snipers, you were like, okay, we want to accommodate this player. The issue is the skill ceiling is so low now that a lot of the hardcore people are gone. That needs to change.
Yeah, this is what I was going to say, man. Like, I don't want to paint everyone with a broad brush here, but if you're playing competitive PvP and someone grabs heavy with a sword and kills you, you're like, you're an idiot. Like, how do you get killed by a sword guy?
They hide around the corner.
Yeah.
Hide? You can't hide. You always
crouch,
on the
radar. You don't show up on radar.
For 2 seconds.
So if I'm running and I just spawned, a dude's crouched there and he hits me with a sword, there are scenarios it makes sense.
I'm not saying I've never died to a sword guy before, but by and large, if you're playing competitive PvP and you die to a sword, you're an idiot.
So here's the thing.
Like,
I'm going to get a few responses.
I'm just going to go back for a few more things. I'm going to look at these were some of our Destiny 1 numbers with hand cannons and all the different weapons that we use. So Sean, for all the PvP you played, 3,821 hand cannon kills.
I know what mine's going to be.
2,800 super kills and 2,300 shotgun kills. So your top three were hand cannon, super, and shotgun.
This is Destiny 1.
This is Destiny 1.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
Destin.
Party Crasher plus one forever and ever.
Yeah, there you go.
Scouts.
Oh, interesting. So Destin, 2,900 super kills, scout rifles, 2,200, and then shotguns, 1,900.
That's right.
So you're mostly...
he was super scout, then what?
Super scout and then shotgun.
Mm-hmm. I loved invective and
So unfortunately,
I was not good at sniping. I'm still not.
I could not find your stats. I think you had melees the most. Actually.
Confirmed.
Sounds right.
I sent you.
So
I'll pull it up.
Yeah, pull the screen.
And you floated to your death as a warlock 9,000 times.
What was yours, CJ?
Okay, so this is when I realized I played a lot of PvP. So I had
10,000,
13,000 hand cannon kills. an 11,000 fusion rifle kills.
Oh my God.
And 6,700 super kills. So I went hand cannon fusion super. And then
mine was melee grenade hand cannon. I don't know if it's true.
No way, really?
That sounds right.
What it says.
Is that the most?
I don't
melee
like stickies.
Kills?
Stickies are bad. I play a warlock sunstinger.
No, I was not a sticky guy. No, I hated them. Get out of here.
So now check this out.
It's crazy that you melee kill more people than you shoot kill people.
I'll tell
but
you
that's
why.
That's crazy.
Oh, no, 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 wait.
Because dual melee.
I will tell
you
why.
Shield buff.
Here's why. No, I forget what it was, but I would do a lot of like damage
shoot
up close,
melee.
Man. I'd finish.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Finish. So yeah. I think that's why.
That's accurate. That makes sense.
I couldn't get those precision headshots, obviously.
And someone make a gift for France doing his warlock moves.
So now check this out. Check out real.
Sidearm, blap, dead.
There it is. Check out where I'm going with this. Check out real crafty. 114,000 sniper kills, 90,000 hand cannon kills, and 56,000 super kills.
Well, the hand cannon meta near the end of the game, I think.
Yeah.
Well, that was the primary, and also we had Thorn there for such a long period of time.
Crafty makes sense. He would snipe until they push.
He would
snipe. Then he'd three tap you.
Yep.
And then when he had a super, he'd go on a tear. So.
Yeah. But look at, and then Lumi, shotgun, 83,000 shotgun kills, hand cannon, 79, super, 41,000.
So what's your point with all these analytics?
So last round off, Stev had 55,000 hand cannons.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, exactly. 5,500. Anyways, it's usually hand cannon, shotgun, super, sniper. Where I'm going with this is you look back at Destiny 1, you fundamentally eliminated the top three weapons for the most part that people used in the game and didn't give them a replacement.
Yeah.
And you're saying a primary, a secondary, and a super?
I'm saying right now, if there's no way to change what those weapons are into the next slot, and I don't think that's going to happen. What can be done to change this? And I've said a couple things on the show. Even think about how artifacts came into Rise of Iron. Mm-hmm. I hope that there's something that comes along that incentivizes people to use those. Get a primary kill with your hand cannon, generate sniper ammo.
Right.
Get dual shot, elemental kills, generate fusion ammo. And that's where the mod system needs to
be. I was just about to say that.
I know.
Like, there was only some sort of mod system.
There needs to be something that's done that changes that, because right now, PvP, most people, when they talk to me, are like, you know what? I'm excited for these changes, but I'm leery still. I'll come back in May to check it out. If it's not what I'm hoping for, then what? Mm-hmm. Ranked,
I mean, I think
it's
not
going to change how I feel about PvP. Yeah. They want to play ranked, but this conversation, I think, is going to be really something difficult.
The only thing that I care about is PvP getting to a place where it's as fun as it was in Destiny 1, because it is not there. I just played a ton of Iron Banner, and yes, it's improved, and I don't think it's as bad as everybody's saying.
No, Iron Banner I thought was pretty good.
Like, just PvP in general. Yeah. It's just not as fun as it was in Destiny 1. Destiny 1 was a more fun experience. Yeah. I would rather be playing Iron Banner in Destiny 1 right now.
Yeah. And Trials has that same issue, right?
For sure, yeah. And I did want to clarify, like, I'm excited for changes. I remain very skeptical that this is enough. But I'm excited for what they're working on. Like, when you say they eliminated hand cannons, you're right. They're not that effective right now, but they're buffing them.
Yes.
Again, it's just a buff, though. It's not like a solve. And I think that's where I agree to be skeptical, but they are buffing things that are not working. Mobility is going to be faster. There's going to be a lot more power ammo on the field. So
I think, like,
it's going to be a different game. It's not going to be it is today. Well, I really believe that.
A second level seems to be the philosophy that drives how they balance these weapons from the first place, which is that, like, if you looked at it, was only those really, really top tier players who had the most sniper kills, right? Mm-hmm. It should be that way, because if you're good, you should be able to snipe. Now you're pigeonholed away from snipers, regardless of your skill level, effectively lowering the skill cap, which I've said this so many times. I am a high skill player type of person. Like, I'm not saying I'm highly skilled. What I'm saying is I like games that reward players who are good at the game.
Yeah.
And I like games that reward players who put the time in to become skilled. And I don't think that just because you bought it, you deserve to be on the same level as players.
You know, Sean, it's
that who put the time in.
It's interesting that you bring up, like, elimination of those.
Just what Rockets do.
Because, I mean, they need to fix that.
Yeah.
I had something and I lost it. I was going to say something. I forgot I was going to say.
Killed by a sword, you're a sucker.
You see, like, that's what I mean is, like, if you get killed by a sword or if, like.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say. On the earnings call, they actually admitted that they tried to make it more user friendly and accessible, and it's not working.
So that's my thing. It's like, I am all for designing systems that are accessible, but, like, To bring it up, in StarCraft, anyone can play the game and understand what the units do and stuff. But to be able to control 200 units at once effectively, that's what makes a player good. Yeah. And if you design a system that allows everyone to do that, I don't know how you would do that. Maybe
and I know what you mean. For like, StarCraft, once you hit a high level, you shouldn't have to buff or nerf things just to let me compete with those higher levels.
Unless the philosophy is let's balance the game so that everyone is on the same playing level, which I am against that in a multiplayer game, which is what Rockets do.
Yeah, we're running pretty long. CJ, do you have a lot more to go over?
No, that's mostly it. I will say that I think, I'm optimistic about these changes too. The speed thing is positive. Faster, recharge of supers is positive. The movement speed in and of itself is positive. These are all things that when you play Destiny 2, it feels sluggish.
So wait, so everyone just moves faster? Is that a bit?
Yeah, 110%.
Now it's weird. Yeah,
that was in the same speed.
So that was Halo 3. So the last thing I want to mention, real quickly, is Bungie's been in this position before. I jokingly said to a few people before at the reveal event, Halo 2 to Halo 3, I actually didn't transition to very well. I think Halo 3 was a really great game. There was tons of new innovative things in it. I did not like the multiplayer as much. They made it very slow. There was very much methodical thing. They removed BXR. They removed all these little things. Now, that is kind of what's happening with Destiny 2. They're taking all the stuff out. The weird thing is, they're now putting it all back in.
So I think Halo 3's multiplayer is better than Halo 2's.
Interesting. So, but that one had, if you look at the first 6 months of all Bungie's releases from Halo through to Halo Reach, everything was like in flux. Oh, what's going on with the sniper now? I have to lead my shots. The BR has hit scan. I can't aim for the head. Those are huge problems in Halo 3. They didn't change those things. Sometimes they change them. Sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll change the two primary one power system.
I don't think so either.
They need to.
But you're right, they're not.
And that's why they're only doing what they're doing now to see if it works.
Yeah. You know? So design philosophy wise, that's what's interesting because, in Halo 3, they increased the movement speed for MLG and they custom certain game types and modes to cater to those hardcore audiences. So, we've often talked about like a PTR. I don't really think that there should be one for Destiny, like PvE and everything as a whole.
Oh, it's okay to be wrong.
PvP.
Yeah, why aren't we testing this?
I'm not saying like that I think it should happen, but the conversation about it happening. Oh, stop smiling. Fine, you're right. The one time you said something.
Dude, that would make sense. Like, what if there was a game preview like on Xbox Live or PlayStation Network that you could just boot up and all it is one map and the new sandbox changes. Yeah. You would just play PvP against people.
Something like that.
It's working well for everybody else is doing.
There was maybe a game mode that had experiential things in it. It doesn't need to be even like a private thing. It'd be like, hey, new PvP update on this game type.
Oh, see, I think it'd have to be like a whole separate client.
Oh, I mean, like that would ideally be.
You boot it up separately out of Destiny.
Yeah. Fortnite's doing it right now.
I was going to say, there's something to be said about a game like Fortnite where they're like, let's just try a different shooting style. Here's a shooting test mode. You know, only certain people want to join it. Try it out. The wait queue's a little longer, but you try out all new, its accuracy has changed. Its recoil has changed.
They
already have their theories. They narrowed it down to two. And they said, okay, let's see which ones you guys like.
Because Bungie always ends up having these things. Yeah, where, pistol becomes the most dominant in Halo 1. You know, BR noob combo. Like, they called something the noob combo, and it's that combo of the plasma rifle and battle rifle.
The problem with Destiny PvP is everything is the noob combo.
Yeah.
Right, but that's why it needs to change. The weapon meta changes too fastly. I get why they don't do sandbox tweaks more often, but people definitely want to see that. And it's unfortunate that sometimes you can't enjoy all the exciting things in the game because you're waiting for the sandbox.
I do have a question for you, though. As someone who doesn't play Destiny on PC, are these problems... Like, are PC, they exclusive to console, or is there better?
Hand cannon's better on PC.
I had heard that there was way more weapon variety on PC, which makes sense because you have greater control. Yeah. Which means you have better.
It's a different meta, a little.
Yeah, especially hand cannons, right?
Yeah.
But is it hand cannons like the one, like that's the exception to the rule, or like do you see a lot of other weapons?
Pulse is solid.
I use Pulse on PC.
A hand cannon like Better Devils is at the top of the trials charts almost all the time. And in console, it's Uriel's Gift, Mida, and a couple other ones. So they don't have that's a new problem too for them, right? So balancing it for PC versus console and everything in between, mouse and keyboard, controller people, there's tons of variables in the game now that they didn't have before. So well,
mouse and keyboard and controller people. You whatever. Pointed the wrong way.
We are at an hour, you guys. So we really Boom. Need to wrap it up for the day. CJ,
for it.
Do you have anything else you wanted to bring up last no, point?
That was pretty much no? it. I think they need to design the game for highest skill.
Yeah.
Make those people learn, and then everybody will fall into place.
I agree. Make it more like Destiny 1.
Yep.
Yeah. yeah. So about this show, Fireteam Chat, I did four people today. And I got to say, you know, we tried the three people thing and it didn't really work. So I realized, hey, that's not working. Let's go back to four. So I decided to implement a change. And I'm like, the community seems to like four people more. And, you know, it's a better flow.
And fire teams
show.
Are four now.
Until, like, the big bosses come in and they say, no, you have to make it three again. And then he's got to do it. And, like, very
and then,
confusing world.
And then like, also, is there a way you can ask for microtransactions?
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. It's good to have all you guys back.
Nice, man. Yeah. It was fun.
Fun time.
All right. So let's do the outro together. Until next time, everybody,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.